Last night, Billy and I were walking home from a Halloween party, and we were doing that thing you do after a party, comparing notes on who was there, who you talked to, who you didn't talk to. What do you think was in those empanadas? Did you have one? For me, that's the best part about doing things with people I love, telling the story together afterward, crafting a narrative, filling in the gaps, widening the lens and bringing the picture into focus. Whether it's a party, a trip, a family reunion, dinner church, or just hanging out at home, we get to relive it through each other's eyes over and over again if it's a good story. When my friend Jeff was dying, we sat in his bed telling each other our favorite stories from our years together. Remember when you puked in my bathtub? I didn't puke in the bathtub. I fell over into the bathtub and pulled the curtain down on top of myself. Right, you made it to the toilet. I held your hair back. Yeah, and the next morning I couldn't figure out why I had a bruise on my leg. We had dozens of stories like that. Stories that each of us only half remembered. Puzzles with pieces missing because the other person was holding them. Outlines of things that happened that we could color in together. When Jeff died, it felt like he'd packed up his puzzle pieces and paints and gone home. My stories had holes in them that I couldn't fill by myself. If Jeff couldn't come back, then I wanted time to stop. I didn't want the colors to fade from our memories, my memories. Even that thought, that our memories were now mine alone, was enough to send me to the floor, wailing like a toddler melting down when it's time to leave the playground and take a nap. I'm not tired. I still want to play. I wasn't ready for the story of Jeff and me to be over, just like I hadn't been ready for the story of my father and me to end, or my sister and me. I thought we could keep writing and rewriting our stories forever, add illustrations, color them in. I wasn't done, and I didn't want to finish alone. What I love about this poem, which was written by the poet Andrea Gibson for their partner when Andrea was dying, is the idea that maybe I'm not as alone as I thought I was. I am more with you than I ever was before. And then there's Jesus telling his disciples, because I live, you also will live. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me. One thing people say when you're grieving to try and make you feel better is that your loved one still lives on in you, that your memories will keep them alive. It kind of feels like a burden, to be honest. Like, I'm already sad, and now I have to be responsible for keeping this person's memory alive. That's why when I read this Bible verse, I thought it was backward. I thought it should be, because you live, I also will live. But no, Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. What if that's true? What if it's not us keeping our loved ones alive, but them keeping us alive? It kind of takes the pressure off. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me. You will see me. Maybe Jeff is still helping me write our story. Maybe I have a whole chorus of angels above me, like backup singers adding harmony to the melody line of my life. Maybe all I need to do is get quiet enough to hear them, clear-eyed enough to see them, still enough to feel them. Maybe the story is never over. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's. Tonight, after a time of silent reflection, I invite you to share a brief story about a loved one who has died. We share stories and not opinions or crosstalk because stories help us to know each other better and because Jesus told stories. We keep our stories brief so we have a chance to hear.